In the last year of Lee Raymond's leadership, ExxonMobil earned a net profit of $36.1 billion, more money than any corporation had ever made in history. That broke the previous record of $25.3 billion, set by ExxonMobil the year before. Even if the historical profits made during the late 1950s and 1960s by such post-war corporate giants as General Motors, Ford, International Business Machines, and General Electric were adjusted for inflation, none could match the size of ExxonMobil's 2005 profit. During the span of Raymond's tenure, from 1993 to 2005, ExxonMobil's market capitalization, the total value of the corporation's shares in the stock market, rose from $80 billion to $360 billion. The company also paid out $68 billion in dividends during that time. It was difficult for an oil corporation of ExxonMobil's size and experience to fail, particularly after oil prices began to rise in 2004. Yet ExxonMobil's performance reflected in substantial part Raymond's relentless focus on cost and efficiency. Raymond's record on behalf of the corporation's shareholders was by now less well known than his record as a self-appointed climate scientist. As part of his transition to retirement, Raymond was in the running to become the chairman of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C., a prestigious and visible position, but environmentalists and the Kennedy family blocked him. On Wall Street and within the industry, however, Raymond commanded considerable respect. Even competitors such as Royal Dutch Shell hosted farewell dinners for him, where he was feted as one of the most accomplished leaders in oil industry history and perhaps the most effective in the United States since John D. Rockefeller himself. Whose profits were they? Under the law, of course, they belonged to ExxonMobil's shareholders, to be managed for the shareholders' benefit by the corporation's board of directors, subject to the rule of law. In political terms, however, oil profits were distinct. They arose from the sale of energy products, particularly gasoline, that the American public had no practical choice but to purchase. Some energy industry profits, those made from the sale of electric power to homes and businesses, were capped and regulated in the United States by state utility commissions whose mission expressly included protection of the public interest. It was, in some respects, an accident of American political history, as well as an expression of the enduring power of the largest oil corporations, that electric energy was treated as a public entitlement subject to close regulatory scrutiny, while gasoline was not. Even setting aside all ideological arguments about the costs and benefits of free versus regulated capitalism, the incentives ExxonMobil and its peers followed, Wall Street signals, competitive signals, and obligations under the law to maximize shareholder value, had practical consequences for middle-class families. As Petroleum Intelligence Weekly put it, "What many of the companies have in common is a reluctance to sacrifice high financial returns for stronger output growth." There were surely many efficiencies in this system, but one of its problems proved to be poor long-term performance and underinvestment by the big companies in oil exploration and production, which arguably contributed to tighter supply and more volatile prices that occasionally socked American consumer budgets unexpectedly. Unarguably, the margin for error in the global oil supply system was shrinking. Just a few weeks after ExxonMobil announced Lee Raymond's prospective retirement, Hurricane Katrina gathered force over the Bahamas, crossed into the Gulf of Mexico, and came ashore near New Orleans. The storm claimed more than 1,800 lives and caused about $80 billion in property damage. A month later, Hurricane Rita smashed into Texas and caused about $11 billion in damage. America's five largest oil refineries lay in the paths of the two storms. Chaos and shutdowns in the gasoline supply chain caused retail gas prices in the United States, which had been rising steadily during the previous year, to spike suddenly toward $3 per gallon. In general, gasoline prices rose and fell in tandem with global prices for crude oil. But occasionally, as in this case, bad weather or strikes or other local disruptions could cause a spike upward. Within a few weeks, senators and congressmen responded to outraged phone calls and emails from angry, financially strapped constituents by introducing legislation to prevent ExxonMobil and other large oil corporations from reaping windfall profits from popular misery. It did not help ExxonMobil's public relations position that it announced on October 25th record third-quarter profits of just under $10 billion.